Hello, everyone. How's it going? Hi. Welcome to You, Me, Them, and Everybody, one of the top 100 podcasts in the Mid-Atlantic region of the United States of America. Thanks for having us here tonight. My name is Pete, and we have some excellent guests for you tonight. We have Malaka and Allison from the Runcible Spoon. Doesn't that sound interesting? We have a very excellent stand-up comedian, Kaylee Reinhart. We have music from Christyle's Bacon, which sounds fantastic. And we have Constable Niles and the Little Drops of Rainbow as your house band tonight. And please, would you join me in welcoming your host for the evening? Because if he wasn't here right now, he would be doing something self-destructive and self-loathing, Brandon Witherby.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is Brandon Witherby. It's a Christmas show. That means it's the holiday season, and I'm so glad Patriot Pete is here to be with us tonight. I'm very, very happy that he's here. Welcome to the show, everybody. I like Christmas. It took a long time for me to realize I like Christmas. I love Christmas songs a lot. I used to hate them because it meant malls and things, and then I realized, oh, you don't have to be in a mall to listen to Christmas music. And it, like, 10 years ago, I would have just, I just hated everything. I was a zinester. And our first guests tonight are zinesters. And I did this zine called Foul, F-O-U-L. I did it, I started it when I got kicked off of my high school newspaper. Because I think I published the word cunt in a Catholic newspaper. And thank you. And 10 years? Love that word. So I decided to become a zinester, which meant that I wrote things that like 8 people read, and I photocopied like 300 copies per issue at Office Max and or Office Depot, because at the time it was the honor system. So no matter how many zines you published, it cost 80 cents, because I always made 8 copies, and it was fantastic. And I met like a lot of people that I'm still really, really good friends with. But the problem is they're all crazy left-wing. And, well, that's like awesome and cool at like, I don't know, 17 to like 22, it gets really tiresome, because you're like, you gotta kind of always be PC, and like people you don't want to touch really want to touch you, and you're like, I guess I gotta touch them because they got a weird tattoo on their chits, and it's like, So you end up like touching all these weird people, and they all smell bad. I'm not saying the zinesters tonight smell bad, but for the most part, they all smell bad, and it's all this like pseudo self-destructive, pseudo like good. Like, I went trash picking. What the fuck? I'm in the first world country, and I'm a white male, and I'm going through the trash to get bread. What the fuck? That doesn't make sense. So I stopped doing that. And then I became just an asshole. So it was the last 10 years, it goes 5 years of hardcore zine, I'm right about everything, to everything sucks ever. And that's not good either, because then you're just shitting on everybody for no real reason. You can't enjoy things like Christmas and everything, because you don't enjoy things when you're a zinester. I'm very sorry. I mean, are you friends with anybody that's an actual anarchist? No, because you're here right now and you're paying for beer. The answer is no, you're not. Those people are fun at a house party to a point, but seriously, man, that smell is overwhelming. Anyways, that's not the point. The point is I couldn't enjoy things, and like, I realized it last night that I'm no longer a zinester, and I'm no longer just shitting on everything, because my lovely fiance put on Jackass 3 on Netflix last night. And I loved it! It's the best! Have you seen it? It's the best! These dudes that hate themselves do stupid shit and you laugh at them, and that's the premise, and there's nothing wrong with that. 10 years ago I said, oh, they're shitty and it's very misogynist. I don't know why or how that could be misogynist, but I thought that. And then and then 5 years ago, it's lowest common denominator. No, it's not! Whitney is lowest common denominator. Jackass is this weird sort of brilliant that I'm starting to finally understand. 13 years too late, that's the fucking trajectory of my life. I'm trying to do a talk show because they're so in vogue right now. Anyways, Christmas is here, and we have Christmas gifts for all of our guests, and I'm wearing this stupid Santa hat, and I'm surrounded by all these people, and our announcer, Patriot Pete, is a fan of the season, and that just makes me happy. And we get to spend all this cool time together exposing each other to, like, really good stuff that isn't smelly and weirdly tattooed. Not, and if you have a weird tattoo, that's fucking great. But don't get one after, like, 25. Like, if you're getting... Like, I want to get my first tattoo. I'm 33. Don't do that. It's not for you. Maybe it is. Maybe you live in the suburbs. I don't fucking know. I shouldn't shit on people. That's the goal of the show. Me not shitting on people. Though it's so easy and fun. Anyways, we do have an amazing lineup tonight, and I'm really, really glad that they're all here. We have the Runcible Spoon Zinesters. I'm probably mispronouncing that. We have comedy from Kaylee Reinhart. We have music. I'm so happy he's here, from Christelle's Bacon. What's their band name tonight? We have Constable Niles and the Little Drops of Rainbow, and political comic Patriot Pete is going to be the role of announcer tonight. So without further ado, whatever the hell you're called, take it away. Patriot Pete, how are you?
Hey, I'm very good. I've just spent this last week in Washington, D.C. It's a very exciting city. There's a lot going on. I met a lot of nice guys, let me tell you.
You met a lot of nice guys, eh?
Yeah, you know, I went to this place. It was like, you can go, you could work out, you could shower. And it's just a lot of nice guys.
Is it called the Y?
It's called I don't remember the name of it exactly.
Uh-huh.
But it was in a part of D.C. near the DuPont Circle.
Okay.
I don't know what that was.
So why are you here? You're not from D.C.
Well, I've been, as I told you, on this political right-wing political comedy tour.
Uh-huh.
And I got to D.C. and I just decided that America is broken.
Why is it broken?
Okay, and that they need me to fix America.
How are you going to fix America?
Well, I went to the monuments.
Uh-huh.
And I just walked around a little bit. That was cool.
Wait, how is that fixing America? I'm still confused.
You know, Brandon, that made a monument. It just came out for Martin Luther King. I don't know if you heard about this.
I have heard about it.
Monument was white. What's going on with that?
That's actually a good point, political comic Patriot Pete.
Yeah. Well, that's for my set. I was just working that out for my set.
Oh, you're workshopping.
That was a bit for my set.
Oh, that's the first joke I've heard you tell that doesn't involve farting.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm trying to branch out, do some more observational stuff.
Okay. You want to try one things, more, or should we move on?
Yes. Okay. So it's the holiday season, and as you know, our President Barack Hussein Obama has a war on Christmas going on right now. I don't know if you guys have heard of this, the war on Christmas. So I saw something on the news the other day that Michelle Hussein Obama.
That's not her middle name.
Michelle Hussein Obama was found shopping at a Target. Did you hear this? And I'm like, what is this, Europe? Okay, what are you, too good for Walmart? You got to go to Target? This is America.
All right.
So that's one of my other jokes.
These are very good jokes.
Do you? Because, like, the fact of the matter is that America needs me right now.
Okay.
They need someone with a sculpted body, with a positive attitude, someone that's a small business owner.
What's your business?
I own a gym.
Okay.
In Raleigh, North Carolina. It's called Red, White, and Blue. Brute. Red, White, and Brute Gym. It's a place where guys can just get away from their wives. You know, they get away from their wives.
It's an all-male gym.
That was actually an excerpt from my favorite song.
Okay.
And so I own a gym, and sometimes, you know, you got to get away from your wife. And sometimes, you know, Stefan is like, you know, Pete, like, Pete, why don't you just leave her? But, you know, you can't be happy all the time.
That's so sad. Okay, coming to the stage, our first two guests. Thank you, political comment. You'll be back.
Okay, should I just...
Yeah, you could just stand there right now.
But I have a foot-long hot dog that I just ordered here at the...
yeah, you did. I could see it.
I just ordered here at the Wonderland Ballroom.
Yeah, how was the foot-long
treating you.
Listen, it goes down smooth. You just close your eyes and you just hope for the best.
I think that's what we're all doing right now in these political times of
Thank
ours.
Thank you very much.
All right, you'll be...
All right, coming to the stage, they produce the Runcible Spoon zine. They are important ladies. My fiance really likes their stuff. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Malaka and Allison from the Runcible Spoon. Play them on, gentlemen.
Malaka and Allison, am I saying your
name?
Malaka. Mm-hmm. Say it again, please.
Malaka.
Malaka.
Allison.
I got the Allison. Thank you, Allison. Why do you guys produce this zine? What is the premise of the zine?
So my roommate Claire and I produced this zine called The Runcible Spoon. I've had a zine all my life, practically.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Okay, when did you get into zines?
I got into zines when I was 14, so...
Okay, good. What was your first zine about?
My first zine was called Sever, and we basically conned, after 311 song, guys, remember that? We basically conned record labels to, like, give us free music, and also conned bands to let us interview them. So we had interviews with, like, The Rapture, Chick Chick Chick, Sonic Youth.
So at 14, you had good taste.
Well, I mean, I also had, like, some friends, like, helping do it, too. But,
okay.
Yeah, so we did that from 14 to 16.
When did you realize that you're not actually scamming it and that's actually the music industry?
I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the thing. A bunch of rich... In a major label situation, a bunch of people that can care less about even the word rapture do coke. And they're really good at doing coke. And... they, in quotes, rape bands, end quotes, financially.
Oh.
So you're just part of the system. That's how it works. And what you did wouldn't even be a misdemeanor. Like, that's like jaywalking.
Jaywalking. Well, then, I'm glad that you said that, because now I feel so much better about
it. Oh, yeah, they don't care.
You can't get tickets for jaywalking.
You can get, but no one's going to enforce that, like, unless you're in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Allison. Allison is one of the writers of our scene, and she's not my roommate. But
wait, why did you have to clarify not your roommate?
Because my roommate was supposed to be here tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
How is she doing?
She's doing fine.
Yeah, where is she?
She's in New Orleans.
New Orleans. The Big Easy.
The Big Easy, beignets, donuts.
The monsters of the Midway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, so this is Allison, and we had actually a zine together in college, too, so.
What was your zine in college?
Our zine in college, actually, Kaylee used to work with the zine. It was called 20 Watts, after how many watts are in a radio network.
Was it based on, did you have a, did
you? Also music.
Did you have a pirate radio station?
We did.
I did too. No. I didn't have a station.
A pirate radio station?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
We just were a college radio.
It was just shitty,
You said.
Why was it shitty?
They gave us no money, and
that's all
college. Signal, our signal was 20 watts.
So like you couldn't even 4-block radius? Like,
you couldn't, I don't think you could pick it up with a radio in the studio.
So you were broadcasting to?
On the internet, mostly.
Well, that's fine. That's the majority of college radio. And you decided to do something not music related for this endeavor.
No, so I decided that I grew up and didn't care about music anymore, and my taste kind of stayed in the late 90s, early 2000s.
What's your favorite band?
My favorite band is still Chick Chick Chick, so kind of like, I need to move on.
Yeah,
or
you
like,
do.
I know, it's sad.
Allison, what's your favorite band?
I really like Kate Bush.
Yeah, she's got better taste than you.
She does. She really does have better taste than me.
What's your favorite Kate Bush song?
Running Up That Hill.
That's the correct answer. Give it up for Kate Bush.
Allison. Thank you.
What's your favorite Cure album?
You're going to have to think about it.
Nope. The answer is Disintegration. Disintegration is your favorite Cure record.
Incorrect.
You're wrong.
Pornography would also be an acceptable response. We're back,
greatest hits. I was going to say that.
Number one.
See?
Did you like the acoustic CD on the Greatest Hits package? No? You shook your head no? That doesn't pick up an audio. You're very nice. So, this scene is not about music.
Yeah, so I decided that I've grown up and I'd like to do something not about music. I think there are a lot of music zines out there. There are a lot of blogs about music. And when we were in college, we struggled with the idea of how does an indie publication fit in with the... to a national audience.
Okay.
And it's really hard to sort of find that niche. So... When I came to D.C., I felt like I was getting lost in the D.C. shuffle. Everything was really politicized and kind of not very fun. I'm from Southern California, so I really just needed like to make my own community. And okay. So the Runcible Spoon was the way to do it. So I got really into food during college and thought that it'd be really cool to have a collection of amazing writers from like McSweeney's, New York Times, like all my favorite food magazines and blogs. Like if I could just ask them to write for me, mm-hmm. what would they say yes? And the answer is they would say
yes. Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, so when I found out that happened, Runcible Spoon, we're on our sixth issue. This is a holiday issue. Thank you. We'll be selling this after the show.
And people can find it online, too.
People can also find it online. I know it's really hard for people who are in the zine world, but you need to get to this to the new world. I mean, we are online now, so.
Do you also put the recipes and or the writings online?
Everything is on a PDF file that you can read in like a digital reader online. So yeah.
Why even do a zine? Why not just have a blog?
That's a good point. I think that for us, the aesthetic of having like an art magazine, kind of like a paper magazine, it's a keepsake. It's you know, it's handiwork. I mean, if you look at the zine, most of it is collage that me and my roommate actually and a few friends actually put together, and like that's the beauty of it. You can't translate that to the web, you know. Really can't. It's very transient, the web. So you know, you put something on there, it's great, but it gets lost on a Pinterest board after a few days, you know.
What's a Pinterest board?
Pinterest is like basically a digital pin board where you can like keep all your Slate wrote about it. You should read it.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
You have a question, Political B? Just scream it out.
I just want to ask, like, what the fuck you're talking about right now? Because I just don't know. What is a Runcible Spoon? Like, what does that come from? Like, what is this magazine thing?
It's a zine, Pete. It's not a magazine.
How much do you sell it for?
We're selling it at a discounted price today for $3.
So you make money from it?
No.
What?
That's how much it costs to print.
You need to go to Office Max.
I know.
It's free there.
But they don't do color, and I feel awkward.
Why do you feel awkward stealing from a giant corporation?
I have a job now.
So?
And a family.
Then why are you a zinester, once again?
Oh, because, here's the thing. Here's the interesting thing. I went for the first time to a zine convention in D.C. earlier this year, and that was the first time I've ever met other zines.
Oh, okay.
Forever. Like, I've had a zine since I was 14 and, like, never had interacted with any other
really?
Zinesters in my life. Yeah, I just kind of, like, kept it to myself and, like, did my own thing and didn't really have any frame of reference, right?
Okay.
So when I went, Allison, what were they like? You'd say what the crowd was like.
I don't think I went with you.
No, you were there. The zine convention. They were weird.
The crowd was awesome.
The crowd, well, Lisa thought they were great.
Where was it?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the show Diners, the Drive-Ins, and the Dives on the food concert?
Yes,
have
I
you
have.
Seen that? Do you, what is that like?
It's delicious.
Wait, are you asking what the show is like?
Well, I mean, she says that she knows about food, but if she hasn't even seen the Diners, the Drive-Ins,
I have watched it.
And the Dives.
She says she has watched it.
Well, if she doesn't, can't tell me about it. Then clearly she's just lying because she's on the internet right now. Clearly.
Are you lying?
I am lying. I'm sorry. I've never seen that show in my life. I've seen that show. Are you kidding me?
I'm actually the host of that show.
I'm the host of that show.
No, the guy's
Guy
name
Fieri.
Is Guy.
That's a myth.
Guy Fieri.
That's actually wrong.
He is a very smart man. He knows a lot about food. And you better stop making fun of him if you want to make it in this food game.
Do you want to make it in the food game?
Yes.
Okay. How do you want to make it in the food game? What's the, cause is the goal to keep making zines or is it to have like a McSweeney's level? Like you referenced a bunch of people that are writing for you that are arguably on a more high profile situation. Is that the goal? Do you want to transition this into a magazine?
Yeah, I'd love to transition this to this into an indie magazine. That's the ultimate goal to, you know, just ask a question. I'd love to hear it. Ask Alfred.
You keep saying in an Indian magazine, and I just can't understand what that means. Do you mean Native American or South Asian?
Allison, you can take it. You can take that question.
Both. Both and neither.
Do you...
Well, I mean, they don't deserve health care. That's all I'm saying.
Patriot Pete, Which ones don't deserve health care? The Native Americans or the Southeast Asians, or whatever you said?
Listen, don't even get me started. Barack Hussein Obama.
Okay, you're done. You're okay. Done. All right. How would this look in a zine? How would this 5 minutes of your life be portrayed in a zine? Just a collage of weird...
Malika would draw a comic.
Okay.
I draw a comic of yes.
How would
I send
it?
It to you? Would you put it on your blog?
Oh, yeah. I'll start a blog and put it on there. I promise you. How has the reception been? It seems like it's the time for foodies. God, that sounds so stupid. It seems like, but like, do you guys sell this at farmers markets and stuff like that? Do you just, how do you get this out to people?
You know how you're talking about, like, you give it to 8 people?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that. So.
You should stop that.
I know.
Get it out!
The New York Times picked it up, actually, and they wrote a piece about the zine.
How many sales did you get from that?
6.
Awesome.
The New York Times is a piece of shit, let me tell you. Have you ever read the New York Times before?
Left wing.
All of it is Barack Hussein Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. We love Barack Hussein Obama. All of it. Every single page. The sports section. We love Barack Hussein Obama. All of it.
Does anywhere in your zine profess love to Barack Hussein Obama?
Every page.
Every page. Every page. So it's definitely a left, middle left leaning zine. Sometimes right, actually. Fair enough. Where can people find the zine?
They can find it. You can buy it on our Etsy shop, and you can also get them in select stores around D.C.
So
you
also have buttons.
And you sell buttons? And do you want contributors? Do you want buyers? Like, how do you want to grow this community? Because it seems like the whole point is to get this out there.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that what we want to do is sort of like, I mean, like, I have a real job in when I'm not doing
What's
this.
Your real job?
You My could, real job.
You could I, lie if you're uncomfortable.
I work in social media for a nonprofit.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's great. It's awesome. And it's, like, very not print. So, like, yeah. I totally know that what I'm doing is, like, not, like, with the times. I mean, this is, like, not with the times. Like, but because I work in social media, I feel like I have, like, that advantage of, like, nobody giving me shit about, you know.
Makes sense.
Why don't you get a blog?
Allison, do people give you shit about not having a blog?
I have several blogs.
Fantastic. Several blogs. Name one of the blogs.
Schoolboy Realness.
What's the premise of Schoolboy What's the premise of Schoolboy Realness?
Just photos of schoolboys.
Serious?
No, that's real, though. So.
Oh.
I'm not to make that up. It's real.
Give it.
So, what is the web address of this website of photos of schoolboys?
BarackObama.tumblr.com.
All right, I'll look that up on my Bing.
You'll definitely find it.
That's not a thing, political comic patriot Pete. It's a never mind.
Have you tried Bing before?
Is it like your Bing?
It's like the new Google.
Bing is the official sponsor of the Jimmy Fallon show.
Really?
Yeah. That's why he never says Google it. He goes Bing it.
And this show.
Nope. Not this show, because I said cunt last week, and they don't like that.
So. I don't either.
Nope, that's exactly what happened, and that guy feels awkward, so he's shaking his head no slowly.
He's
agreeing with me. Final question. What do people need to know about your zine? My fiance loves it. She loves what you're doing. I now know what you're doing. People could find you in the world. What should they know about you?
Well, the zine is all about capturing the pleasure of eating food. So anytime you've like ever had like eaten like something that made you just want to like stand up and like hold it up to the light.
What if it's Taco Bell?
It's fine. Taco Bell counts, you know?
Ooh.
Like anything that like just like makes you want to stand up. That's what we would try to like capture. Like that sort of like excitement, like, yes, I am holding a chalupa. It's awesome.
Yeah, we've all
Did you know, Brandon, I saw on the news that Taco Bell is starting a joint venture with Doritos. It's
going to
revolutionize the taco.
They are. I don't know if you guys know. He's being serious. Their current shell is, the entire shell is a Dorito.
Cool
I'm
ranch.
Totally serious.
Cool Ranch or Taco?
No, just regular, not Cool Ranch.
Revolutionize the taco.
Yeah, it is going to. Well, I'm sorry that this interview went this way.
No, I actually really love
this. As am I.
Questions more than yours, so
fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, well, get off my fucking stage. People can find you where?
Well, people can find us here today. We're going to be in the corner selling zines for $3 and pins that Allison handmade. So please buy them. We'd love you forever.
Say it again.
The Runcible Spoon .info.
Really quick. Wait, .info.
Yeah.
Wait, you couldn't get the .com?
Yeah, We did, but it was $2 more expensive. So
oh, my God, you're cheap. Oh, my God. You work in social media, but you went with a .info?
I know.
Why did you? Do you want to? If I give you $2 right now, will you buy the .com?
Somebody else bought it. Too late, like 2 months after.
Who? Jesus Christ, Pete.
I just want to tell you something. I met a nice gentleman over in the DuPont circle. He told me about these people in Washington, D.C. They're called hapsters, okay? Hapsters like to do things, but don't like to show that they have, like, they put, like, effort into it. So they'll go with a .info instead of a .com. It's a very hapster type of thing to do. Are you crying, ma'am?
You're really making me laugh.
Oh, you make me laugh, too.
Well, this was weird. People could find him at .info. Or Bing it, everybody. Just Bing the Runcible Spoon by their zine, Malika and Allison. Play them off, gentlemen. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I write a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show.
Coming to the stage, please put your hands together, everybody, for Kaylee Reinhardt, everybody. Kaylee!
Hi, everybody. I am Kaylee. Hello. Hi. I'm going to start off by saying something pretty controversial, which is I know it's crazy. Just wait. I am really happy that it's cold out. Anyone else? It's a little chilly, right? Okay. No, it's good. It means that Christmas is coming, which is I'm excited about. I'm really looking forward to seeing my family and eating ham. But I think when the holidays start coming around, people start comparing crazy family stories. And I like to think that my family rates somewhere between the Mansons and the Bundys in craziness. In that we're a little trashy, we're usually drunk, and my mom tried to murder me once, which is true. I was in high school, and she was talking to me about what I wanted to do with my life, and I was like, Mom, I think I really want to be a teacher. I don't know. I just think it would be, you know, good for everybody. I could help people learn. And she looked at me and she was like, Kaylee, I didn't spend half of my life raising you to be a loser. And then she started throwing things at me, glass things like a vase and a picture frame with my face in it. And just, this is serious. She was throwing glass at me. So I left the house and ran down the street. And now we're fine. I'm obviously alive. For lack of trying. But I like to think that I won that fight as I'm now telling jokes to strangers. So, for free. But I... that's not a burn to you. That's just a burn to my mom. But I really love my mom. She was just visiting recently, and I did what I think most adults do and hid my duffel bag of lube and condoms. Because my mom clearly knows that I'm having sex, but I don't want her to know I'm doing it safely. I don't know. Yeah. The only problem is now I can't find my bag of condoms. So I think if I get pregnant, I'm going to force my mom to raise the child as her own and pretend I'm its sister, because I'm not ready for that kind of commitment. But thank you. I think a lot about having kids because I'm at an age now where, you know, I have a real job and I work with adults and they're all having babies. And I don't ever want to do it, but not for the reasons that you probably might think, like getting fat or whatever. I think people are concerned with that. I don't know. People are. It's a concern. Or, yeah. It's something I thought about. But I think what bothers me the most about women who have children is that right after they have them, they are so comfortable with talking about the grossest and most horrible things that could happen to a human body to complete strangers. I was in an airport, and this woman and I were talking, and I was being very polite, and we got into the conversation of how she just had a child, and she was just like, Katie, no, is that your name? Kaylee. Let me tell you, Kaylee, having a baby is a really wonderful experience. And before you ask, yes, I did poop on the table. Everyone always asks that. But, you know, it did look like a bomb went off. But I'm all stitched up now, so it's fine. Do you want to see some pictures? And I was like, pictures of what? Your Frankensnatch? Because, yeah, kind of. And she said, no, you pervert, I meant my baby. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm the pervert. I'm the weirdo. You're the one who pooped on a table, you jerk. Making me feel bad because I want to see your stitched up vagina. I'm sorry. I'd like to talk about something serious right now. Is that okay? The one thing that I think is the biggest problem facing women today is excessive body hair. It's offensive. Anyone else? It's offensive? No. No one thinks so. I didn't realize that body hair was a problem, my body hair specifically, until I was in high school, and a boy I had a crush on told me I should shave my face. Yeah, it made me sad, so I went and bought an entire bottle of Nair and just put it all over my face, and then 10 minutes after the recommended time, I took it off, and I was hairless, and I felt really good about myself. And then I woke up in the morning, and it looked like I had opened the Ark of the Covenant in my sleep. It was just like my skin was just totally blown off, and I looked crazy. But I went to school, and all day people were like, Kaylee, what is wrong with your face? And I was like, oh, I don't know, food allergy. I don't know what happened. And they were like, in the shape of a beard? Yeah, shellfish. I don't know. But I used to think that people were just mean in high school, but now I realize that I think there was something wrong with me, personally. We had a dating service at our school, like OkCupid on a Scantron. So they asked us questions like, what's your favorite sort of movie? What do you want to do on a first date? And you just marked the box with your choice, and then, you know, 2 weeks later, they sent your results in a little envelope, and everyone was very excited, and you had to pay $5, and I was really looking forward to it. I took it very seriously, and I was like, I'm going to find my soulmate, and we're going to make out a lot. But so I got my results, and I opened up my envelope, and this is also true. All five of them were in special ed classes. I felt like I looked at myself and I was like, you know what, you're okay. You should maybe give them a chance because they don't talk to a lot of women. So look at number one on your list and go talk to him. And number one on my list was Ashim, a tiny Indian boy with leg braces and a walker. So I went up to Ashim and I was like, hey, Ashim, you're on my list. Like, do you want to go get some breadsticks or something? And he looked at me and he was like, oh, yeah, you're Kaylee, right? The girl with the beard thing? I think I'll be washing my walker later. And he walked away. But I... Well, it's real. That's my life. I know. Okay, but I do have a boyfriend now, and he's really great. And he... Anytime that I'm feeling bad, he likes to plan nights for me that are all my favorite things. So just the other day, we did my favorite things, which were, number one, we ordered Chinese food. Number two, we cuddled on the couch. And number three, he put in my favorite movie, which is Hustlers Barely Legal, Disc 107. So we were watching my favorite disc of the over 100 set, and... he looks at me, you know, we're watching this couple have sex in a hotel room, which was classy, and he was like, Kaylee, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but your body looks a lot like hers. And I was like, looked at the TV, I started crying. He was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I knew I shouldn't have said that, I'll turn it off. And I said, no, leave it on. It's just the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. You think someone would watch me have sex on television? So sweet. But I really like to have sex, which I don't mind admitting to a room of strangers. I feel very comfortable with that. And, you know, people have different preferences about sex. Some people like to do it in the morning, and some people like to do it at night. And I've recently realized that I like to initiate sex while I'm still sleeping. My boyfriend calls it night rapes because it's terrifying. I'm still asleep, and I am on top of him, drooling and snoring, and I'm still wearing dirty sweatpants, which maybe some of you might be familiar with that sexual style. But I wake up, and he's just naked and crying, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm sorry. Night rapes? Yeah. I'm sorry about that. So one more thing that I'll say is... you know, my mom always used to tell me, her one piece of advice for me, basically throughout my whole life, has been, Kaylee, before you leave the house, please make sure you're wearing clean underwear. And I think if my mom knew anything about my life, what she would tell me is, Kaylee, please God, before you leave the house, clear your Google searches. Because that's more embarrassing to me than any underwear I have in my drawer. And the reason is because I look up, as I'm sure most of you do, some pretty fucked up stuff. Like, some things I looked up recently are, is it okay to shave your toe hairs? What's my vagina's real age? And is it okay to wear fruit roll-ups instead of edible underwear? Which, it's okay. But my concern is, if I die, like I was murdered, and there's like an investigator at my apartment, and he's looking through my shit, like, what kind of person is he going to think that I am? He's going to be standing over my body like, well, she seems to be some sort of sexual pervert. She's wearing fruit roll-ups as underpants, but it looks like they're clean. That's all that I have. Done. Yeah, done.
Sit down, Kaylee.
Thank you.
That guy, never mind. So the answer for the edible underwear thing, is it yes or no?
Yes.
Really? Yeah, just few roll-ups, whatever?
Yeah. It's more sticky.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're okay, it's better tasting.
I guess.
Have you tried edible underwear?
I don't remember.
Well, they're like plastic.
Yeah.
Whereas fruit roll-ups is more of a food product, I think.
Fair enough. So that's what you want to be known for then, eh?
I guess so.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. You're a cool lady. It's Christmas time, so everyone gets a gift. We're going to give, since I barely know you, you get this SpongeBob ornament.
Thank you. It's very kind.
You can hang it on your thing that you celebrate for.
It's a tree.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I don't know what SpongeBob has to do with the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
He's wearing a Santa hat.
But did you know that SpongeBob has a character, the star character, that is actually a practicing homosexual?
Did
you know that?
That's pretty great.
So what does that have to do with Christmas? What does being happy have to do with Christmas?
Kaylee, where can people find you? Tell me you don't have a dot info.
I only have Facebook. I don't.
Perfect.
Even have
do you want people to friend you?
Yeah, friend me.
How do you?
My name is Kaylee Michael Reinhardt. If you're interested.
Excuse me. What's your middle name? Obviously, your middle name.
It's Michael.
That's a man's name. That's a man's name.
I didn't want to get into that, but
let's talk it out. Let's talk it out, Kaylee. This is a talk show.
Thanks for doing this, Kaylee.
Thank you for having me.
Kaylee Reinhardt, everybody, put your hands together.
Thank you.
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though, so why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
Political Pete was here last week. You're going back home to North Carolina tomorrow.
I'm going back home to North Carolina tomorrow to my life of hell with my fat wife.
Why don't you just get a divorce?
You know, it's really tough for me to listen to that last stand-up comic with all her hee-hee-ha-has about your wife raping you in your sleep, because that's happened to me a couple times, I gotta say.
What do you do to protect yourself?
Obama's war on Christmas.
Oh, this is not about Obama, okay,
this
buddy?
This is what I want to talk about right
Fine,
now.
Fine, hurry
it's
up.
Obama's war on Christmas. You're not even allowed in America to celebrate Christmas anymore.
Yes, you are.
Did you know about this?
Would you like a candy cane?
Did you know?
Here's a candy cane.
That according to Wikipedia, which is a website that I use, I get a lot of information from it. According to Wikipedia, the founding fathers who had amazing bodies, all of them, every single one of them.
Really?
Incredible body.
I didn't know that.
Incredible sculpting.
That's except, a fun fact.
Except for the inventor one. What's his name?
Franklin?
Franklin. Terrible body. Terrible body. The rest of them, fantastic body.
That's what you want to talk about.
They worked on their delts. They worked on their quads. They wrote the Constitution.
Oh, Jesus.
Have you heard of the Constitution, actually?
I have.
Well, let me tell you one person who hasn't heard of the Constitution. Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, I got that.
I don't care if he taught constitutional law at University of Chicago. University of Chicago. I don't even care. He doesn't know anything about the Constitution. You're not even allowed to celebrate Christmas anymore.
Yes, you are. I just gave you a candy cane.
Barack Hussein Obama and his war on Christmas. I have one last thing I want to say about
Hurry
it.
Hurry up.
We forget, as Americans, what Christmas is really about. Christmas wouldn't be possible without a guy that I'd like to introduce all of you fucking heathens to, Jesus Christ. What would Christmas be without Jesus Christ? It would be miss. Okay? That is the truth. That is the gospel truth.
Well.
And when they nailed his beautiful milky white-skinned body to that cross, did you know that Jesus Christ was the only baby to ever be born with a six-pack? Did you know
no,
that?
No, I didn't.
Perfect six-pack. Perfect rippling abs from the time he was born. The Son of God, Jesus Christ.
All right, everybody. Since it's the holiday season, I decided to get you a gift, political comic patriot.
What is this?
I got you a wig to wear so when you're in DuPont later, no one could identify you. Is that nice? We're celebrating Christmas together.
Listen, Brandon. Listen, Brandon, this is going to play well on the podcast right now. I just want to thank you for having me for your last two shows. I'm going to go back to Fayetteville, North Carolina, to my life of hell. And I just want you to have something to remember me by.
What's that?
Well, as I said last week, me and my friends like to do something called Tea Party Tickle Party.
Oh, I don't think we have time for a tickle party.
I just would like to, for the next 20 seconds, for the two of us to just tickle each other on stage for all these
Why
people.
Why don't we do that after the show?
No, I want to do it now. In front of all these people.
I don't want to, so therefore it's not consensual. I'm sorry, buddy. That's okay. How we roll in the blue states, or districts, whatever the hell this is.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
All right.
I haven't understood one word.
Political comic Patriot Pete, everybody!
Wondering who designed the artwork for this podcast? Gig Posters by Rich created the neat art for this show and a bunch of our past live shows. You can view all artwork online at gigpostersbyrich.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
Chris Stiles Bacon, everybody.
Thank you. let's hear it underwater. Thank you so much, y'all. So, what in the world is that called? Human Beatbox. Human Beatbox came out of straight up hip hop culture. I came across Human Beatbox not by listening to a whole rack of Human Beatboxes growing up. Really, as a kid, I would just walk around the house doing sounds like all the time with the mouth. Some kids could whistle. I can't whistle. Some kids can snap their fingers. I can't really get that happening. So this was my recreation, just on the pastime, doing that. So my mom, we grew up in Southeast Washington D.C., born and raised, native, and so my mom, she was a DJ. She used to play a lot of hip hop music, a lot of like Motown stuff. So my mom, well versed on hip hop, she pulled me to the side by the Afro one day, and wanted to play for me a record. And when she played it, I heard these sounds. And I was like, dang, mom, what in the world is that? And she said, that's Doug E. Fresh from New York City. Doug E. Fresh from New York City. I was like, that's a dude doing them sounds? She said, yeah, that's a human beatbox. That's what you're doing. That's what you could do. And I was like, huh. So these same sounds that I do as a pastime, because a brother cannot snap a whistle. You know, these same sounds I've been doing is an instrument called the human beatbox. I've been doing all this time, and I didn't even know it. So I started practicing all my sounds in hopes of getting a human beatbox like Dougie Fresh. So that. And once I gained a little mastery over that, I started thinking about other situations and taking it a step further than just beatboxing with MCs or rappers submitting rhymes in a cipher, right? So I was hanging out at a cookout, one of my family get-together joints, where we have like plentiful food out in this joint. And so my great uncles, I always look up to them to avoid going to sleep directly after a meal, right? They always get on their feet, go down in the basement, and play some music. They tune up their guitars and all that stuff and play some stuff from James Brown. So they count it off. We go guitar, and I would do like my uncles did and tune up the instrument. And this song is called Tuning. They would tune up their instruments, and they'll play James Brown. They'll count it off. Always wanted to be a part of this family band, but I never had an instrument to play. But this time, I thought about it. I had this human beatbox now outfitted with different sounds, like that. And so I waited outside the room like a girl about to jump in the game of Double Dutch, waiting for them to start up with their music and jump in, and I could be the human beatbox drummer. So they counted off. A 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, My uncles, they're from my great uncles. They're from Memphis, Tennessee, so they never heard a human beatbox before. All they know is they see no drum set in the room, but they hear drum sound. They turn over and they see that those sounds are coming from me. So they was like, huh, we gotta test this out. So they switched up and played a different James Brown rhythm to see if I can keep up. Thank you so much. So my uncles were excited, you know, so they supported me doing this here instrument called the human beatbox. My mom definitely supported because she didn't have to spend no money on it. She could just give me bottles of water and keep me living and I'm breathing and I could be a human beatboxer for the rest of my life. All of that, right? And so I was like, this is the human beatbox is used in hip-hop music, but we just did that for funk music with James Brown songs. Maybe we could take this beyond just hip-hop and try other genres. So I started messing around with a little jazz. So that's human beatboxing jazz. So maybe now we could take it a little bit more international and do some soothing bossa nova music real quick. Now, see, I'm from Southeast D.C., so I can't just, like, keep you in another, like, another genre without mixing in my own personal flavor on this. So, here in D.C., we have the style of music called go-go. Go-go music, straight up. Chuck Brown is credited for being the godfather of go-go. You could check out his stuff. And so, it's just how we get down to the beats. I grew up playing as a kid on buckets and trash cans before we had instruments. And so, now we're going to take a little bit of bossa nova and put that inside of what we call the go-go pocket. Very much. So what I do, I call myself a progressive hip-hop artist. We're taking traditional elements of hip-hop like beatboxing and rhyming. We mixing that in with genres of music all around. And so now it's time to give y'all an actual song real quick. So this is all about the human beatbox. And since I'm from D.C. and go-go has played a big role on influencing my music, I use something that's very common in go-go, like call and response. I say something, y'all respond to it. So in this instance, I'm going to say it's the beatbox since the song is about the beatbox. And y'all have to be a part of this here musical experience and sing in your gangsterous tones singing it's the beatbox right after me. So it's going to go like this. It's the beatbox. It's the beatbox. It's the beatbox.
It's the beatbox.
The human beatbox. I think we're ready. It's the beatbox. It's the beatbox. The human beatbox. Now I could walk down the street and always have a drum with me. I play it at the shows and they say it sounds pretty. For some strange reason, not everybody could see it. I play it while I'm singing and I clean it while I'm breathing. Got a sound like and a sound like. If you put them both together, then it's. It took a lot of practice and it started as a hobby. And now I got 20 different drums in my body. It's the beatbox. It's the beatbox. Human beatbox. Now I can make people groove cause it sounds so smooth. With the and then bring it back as I bust a rap, and I could keep it going because it's cool like that. The beatbox started, let's say, in the 80s. People heard the sounds with the mouth and said, that's crazy. And you can mix the sounds with the letters in the alphabet, like B's and P's and T's and other things, from clock sounds and doorbell rings. You see, the beatboxer uses all types of things. Now I can make it go faster, make it go slow. It's so versatile that I can make it do both. It's the beatbox. The human beatbox. Now we all have a million drums that's inside our chest, but be careful when you use them, you can run out of breath. Now I could easily cough and throw the beatbox off and mix the beat with the cough, and the problem is solved. What you was hearing is a combination of me doing a little bit of rhyming while playing the guitar. And when I'm not doing that, y'all saying it's the beatbox and y'all gangsterous tones. And it's greatly appreciated. I'm beatboxing and playing the guitar at the same time. But it didn't always sound like that. It started off sounding like this. Very amateur. And so I just knew that I couldn't sustain a career as a musician by just doing that for like an hour, right? Not even 15 minutes. So I wanted to sound like I had two people playing at the same time. The beatboxer and a guitarist at the same time. So I started with a nice little cool rhythm. And started building my beatbox. One by one, every drum, starting with the snare, and then the bass, then we need the hi-hat and the cymbals. I'm able to do an instrumental album. I could just get my Kenny G on, right, for like the next 5 years and just do it, right? But, you know, I call myself a progressive hip-hop artist. Hip-hop, so, you know, there gotta be some rap in there. So, I said, is it possible to play guitar, beatbox, and rap, all three at the same time? I'm not from the suburbs, I pick an ear, very much less, sit with them, style like bread, flute on hands, with people that will pick up a rap style, and break your raps down, and have you unwilling to rap now, I think faster when I back down, post stupid stuff, I play the background, cause styles represent the strongest element, from the south side, we call the continent, busting out the rounds on the back of the bus, bruising out my heavy coat, we banging too much, and people know it, we got skills and we will show it, you're chilling with the man like cancer, have you open, busting out the kid with a stand, and with the words like this, I'm stuck, you should be paying for, I should be getting paid for, crashing this manual label, I'm about to blow out, so Brandon pass the claim up, let's get the paper. And then we out, ride a dot with mad flavor. It's the beatbox. It's the beatbox. The human beatbox. Let's fade it out like an old school record. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yes! Where can people find you?
You can find me at chrisstyles.com. Chris Styles is chrisstyles.com.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.